Sif say, what does the Sefer called? Ali Shur? Did he write, no, he wrote Sif Sechaim. He wrote, Ali Shur was a Volba. He wrote Sif Sechaim. His sermon called Sif Sechaim. Okay.
Sif Sechaim.
What's the other one? Mesilas Chayim. Okay. Sif Sechaim, a very popular sermon. Musa sermon. Okay, let's continue. We're up to Nicha, the end of Perek Aleph. Maybe we'll finish the Perek Aleph and begin Perek Beis. We have to just do the Malbum on the pasuk that we learned yesterday. Let's turn to the page. The page is, okay, we learned yesterday, pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Yud Gimel, page 4, 5, 6. We are in the middle of pasuk Yud Gimel. Let me read the pasuk again. Pasuk says, Resoim HaMerkava L'Rechash Yesheves Lachish. What? We're missing the 1, 2, and 3.
No, 1, 3 is Yud Gimel. We're missing the 2.
It's a page number.
Okay, I got it. Okay, I got it. We're using the number 2. I got it. Okay.
Down the hall. It's 2,
2. All right. Okay, so we have here the pasuk says, Rishoy Mamer Kavol Lachish. Lachish is a city which over here is being scrutinized. Lachish, we learned yesterday, was a city that was located in the region of Yehuda. But Lachish was loyal to... I should say loyal. Lachish was the place where they worshipped idols. Is the people of Lachish, they imported the idols of the Malchus of Yisrael.
Was Lachish mentioned somewhere somewhere else in the
It sounds familiar. I can't put my finger on it.
Lachish is where Sanherib captured and made those cylinders with the cuneiform describing the pattern. That's where he failed to take Yerushalayim. So he was coming from Egypt, from the south, up to Lachish, and he's going north to Yerushalayim.
That's where he staged the battle from.
He destroyed Lachish.
You know, but there's something else. There's something else. Maybe with David Abdullah? Okay,
you're right, I know. It sounds very familiar. It sounds, well, we have to look into it. Lachish here in this context has been criticized by Micha. Lachish was a city that we learned here in the Farshim that worshipped idols. Not just any idol. They worshipped the idols that were popular in the Malchus of Yisrael. They were guilty of learning from their brothers. They were curious what was going on the other side of the fence. What was going on in the Malchus of Yisrael? They learned that they were worshipping idols. They took those exact same idols and imported them into the city of Lachish. Now here, we learned yesterday that what were they worshipping? The Baal. The Baal was the very popular of the Zohar from Achav and onward. Until Baal, we found it in Mechol, yes?
It says, there were battle accounts of Yoshua, Tehrim, and the Tensar.
Yeah.
So it's mentioned in Yoshua then. That's, I guess, what I was
thinking. Okay, so Lachish was a very popular place to conquer. It was a lot of war.
And as Dr. Phil was saying, it's an archaeological site.
It's a big tell, very big tell.
It's a mountain? What was it? It's a mound?
Yes.
It was the second most important city in Yerushalayim.
Really? Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Lachish here, we learned yesterday, they worshipped idols that they imported from the Malchus of Yisrael. What was the specific idol? We learned yesterday, Baal. Baal was a new idol. Why was it a new idol? Because originally they worshipped the Egle HaZahav. Yeravam ben Nevat invented a new idol. Okay, it appears to be a new invention of his own. The Egle HaZahav, in order to prevent the Klal Yisrael from going to Yerushalayim, that he should not be embarrassed that he would only be second fiddle to the Melech of Yehuda. He prevented his people from going to Yerushalayim by positioning an army to prevent people from traveling over. Did they build the wall? There was no wall, it seems, right? He couldn't get funding. He couldn't get funding for a wall in those days either, so he had sentries preventing them from traveling to Yerushalayim. And in order to give people an opportunity to find an outlet for their spiritual needs, he built two temples, one in Basel and one in Dan, and they worshipped these Eglei HaZahav. It came a point later on when that was not sufficient. People had other needs. And Achav went and imported into Eretz Yisrael an old time of Avodah Zarah called the Baal. And we learned yesterday, according to the Radak, is that the Baal was now imported further into Lachish. I was learning. By Yitzias Mitzrayim.
Today said Baal Ma'on.
Baal Ma'on. Okay, we learn by Yitzias Mitzrayim. By Yitzias Mitzrayim, we discussed yesterday that HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'asa bochem shifatim. In Egypt, Hashem obliterated every single idol that existed. And yet, when they left Mitzrayim, we find Nichachoy Sachanu Neged Baal Tzafoin. And they went and they encamped opposite Baal Tzafoin. So, and then Rashi says that Paro was misled. Paro thought, look at that. That Baal is a powerful god. All of my gods in Egypt were obliterated. They did not save us from the Jews. All the firstborns were killed. All of the idols were destroyed the night of Makas Bechoris. But look, Baal is still standing. And the Jews, in fact, have gone backwards and have encamped opposite Baal Tzafoin. It
was
must
Baal
be
a natural physical structure, or was it an ideological idea?
Both. It was both. That's what Avodah Zarah is. Avodah Zarah is a physical manifestation or representation of a conceptual principle.
In Abraham, they were basically just physical statues. There was no really.
No, but those physical statues, they represented concepts, mythical forces. So the idols, indeed, I don't know much about idols. You can go get enough PhDs for many lifetimes to learn about what we know today about idolatry. What we know about idolatry today is probably just a drop, a tipush of a yam, of what really existed during the time of, in the ancient times. And this person, Rabbi Klein. So he's very into this. Yeah. We discussed just a little bit of this first volume, and soon he's going to publish a second volume. It's really a one of a kind work, where he's going to present all the different types of idols and what they represent. That through the lens of Chazal, or not Lavdav Chazal, through what we know about in an Orthodox Jewish perspective, which is really unique. I don't think there is such a work out there like this. No, you have never heard of this. The last time I heard of a work that no one ever did was from Michal Miller. There's a fellow, Michal Miller. He put out a book about the Dal Malchios. Also took upon a work that was not done elsewhere to such a degree. 60 different examples in Chazal of Dal Malchus. Wow.
Just headings.
Wow, what a work. I'm waiting for the sequel, for the next 60. Okay, but this is also a fascinating work of Avodah Zarah. Okay, so you're right, Mr. Merulis, obviously it has to be that these are physical objects, but they represent ideas, false, mistaken beliefs and forces that people worshipped, and they believed their destiny was dependent upon these forces in the world. By Klal Yisrael, Hashem says, "L'sasel l'cha pesel v'chol temuna." It is categorically forbidden. Not only is it forbidden to believe in a force other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is forbidden even to create a pesel, a physical representation of a force, even if we don't believe in that force. That's how far the Zohar goes in the Torah.
Was it worse for that they created a new one, as opposed to using the
those are separate lavim within the...
No, I'm talking about,
there's always something new. There's always a new model. There's always a new car model.
The problem was that they took from the
Yisrael, and they took their Baal, right?
No, Baal, I don't, Baal, it's not, I don't even, I don't know what Baal is. Baal is some type of force that the ancient people believed controlled their destiny. It was extremely popular. And Eliyahu HaNavi, Bahar Carmel, his whole opposition, the whole story, Bahar Carmel, where he told all of the idolaters to go and bring a power and offer it as a sacrifice to their God, and the great miracle that happened where they conclude, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim, and we conclude Yom HaKippurim with these words, Hashem Hu Elokim, it was all about worshipping Baal. And in fact, Klal Yisrael, when they left Mitzrayim, after all of the idols in Egypt were obliterated, what did Hashem tell Klal Yisrael to do? Is to stand, to encamp opposite this idol called Baal. So obviously, so Baal was not destroyed. It was not destroyed in the night of Yitzhak and in Makkas Bechoris. It appears that Baal was not an idol that the Egyptians worshipped, they believed in. And that's why it was not present in Egypt itself. It was only outside of Egypt, in the desert, on the way to Yam Suf. And when Paro saw that it survived, and Jews are encamping opposite Baal, he mistakenly believed, oh, you know, it must be that Baal does have some force, some has some power. And so there is something there. Now, over here in the Aseres HaShvatim, they did not start worshipping Baal. It's clear as day, they started worshipping the Eglei Zahav. Very similar to what happened at the time of Matan Torah.
One considered worse than the other, that's the question. Are they both
they're all
bad?
The same. They're all the same. Avodah Zarah is Avodah Zarah. There's a Moilich, there's a Baal, there's a this, there's a that, there's the Dagon. There's a book going to come out pretty soon. It's going to go, already he came out with the first, the two volumes. The first volume, you already presented all of the major idols that are found in Tanakh. They're different. Dagon, we find by Shiloh, when Shiloh was destroyed, the Pelishtim conquered, they captured the Oroin. And they put the Oroin in their temple, the temple of Dagon. And in the middle of the night, Dagon collapsed. Dagon, it appears there, was the Zarb that relates to a fish, Meloshim Dog. Career reveal. I really don't know anything about this. But all I got out of that safe, what?
That's one opinion, but it works because there were coastal people and they made their.
That was the Parnassa. That was the Parnassa. Fish are not subject to Maris Ayin. Maris Ayin itself is a spiritually, a supernatural concept which is not related to things in this world. So all I got out of that book is that there are many different types of idols in Tanakh. Yeah?
One other thing. I've gotten most of the way through it. It seems that he evaluates the evidence at each period in reference in Tanakh, how much were the Jewish people into it or not? How much did they...
The influenced.
Whatever the Avodah Zarah happened to be, or really was it superficial, was it... Were they in deep or what? That's sort of what he was going for.
So every time you come across a situation in Tanakh where there's a mention of an idol, read carefully what is the idol. When you look in elementary school, they don't differentiate. That the Jewish people, they were evil, they worshipped, they did Averos, they worshipped idols. There's no difference between the Egel, Baal, Dagon, worshipping Moilech. All over Tanakh, you have over and over all different types of idols. To us, it's a catch-all. It's one size fits all. It's all the same. Not necessarily. What? As the worst. Because there they offer their children to that. You don't find people offering their children to Baal. You don't find people offering their children to Dagon. You find people offering their children to Moilech, and that's why Hashem has it out for Moilech, because Moilech is the worst of the worst, to go burn your children in honor of Moilech. Okay, I really don't know, but all we should appreciate is that there are many different types of idolatry, and each idol, it represents a different approach to an attempt of an ancient civilization to discover what is the force of life that keeps them alive, that brings them success and failure. And they invented they've invented or they are misled. I don't know exactly how all this comes about. Either they are misled or they invent different ideas, and they represent these ideas in physical forms, which we call a pesel, and it can be a pesel of moilich, of dogoin, baal, and all the whole long list, which I don't remember. And each one represents something very, very different. And when we find that Klal Yisrael is affected, influenced by this type of avodah zarah, it's challenging a certain element, a specific dimension of the Ribbono Shel Olam's multifaceted koyach of this world, that Hashem is koyel everything. Hashem is echad. We don't appreciate that. We say multiple times, Hashma Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So we say, big deal, Hashem is one. Of course Hashem is one. What's the big deal? What do you mean Hashem is one? For us, we would seem to say, we should just say, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem, you're our God. Why do we always have to emphasize Echad? The average person today doesn't, I don't need it. I don't need you to emphasize Echad. Because we live in a Christian world, pretty much. Okay, we live in the West, and the West, monotheistic world, and even the Muslims who we don't identify with, we don't live in their midst.
Even more so than...
They all believe they have the common denominator. The three major religions in this world are all built upon the principle of monotheism. Mano is one. There's one God. So to us, it's a given. There's one God. There's one God who's in control. But we don't appreciate that in ancient times that concept did not exist. Either they were pagans who don't believe in anything, they just believe in themselves, they just want to have good food and do whatever tivus they have, or they believed in multiple gods. There's a god for good, a god for bad, a god for bread, a god for vegetables, there's a god for mezonos rolls, and a god for hamotzi bread, right? There's an orange juice god, and there's a god for pomegranate juice. Every single thing in this world was a specialty, and had a special god, and the gods did not get along, and Greek mythology tells you about these absurd, these bizarre battles, And rivalries, and jealousy, and with women, and alle gute Sachen. What goes on in Greek mythology, it's comical. You think you're reading a comic book, and you go back to the ancient people, they were so foolish to actually ascribe such lowliness to their own gods. It's just a reflection of who they were.
Yeah.
Right? It's
shape the gods in your own image.
And these people would just kula taiva, kula kina ha taiva ha kavod. So their gods are all about kina taiva ha kavod, and they're all killing each other. And in the process of killing each other, this world is coming apart. I remember, always sticks out this memory. I have this memory, you know, talking about Avodah Zarah. I once saw a video many, many, many years ago where they show the world, they show like the world is coming to an end. The world is shaking, buildings are collapsing, and these major hailstorms are coming to this world. And the whole world is coming to an end. And then the camera zooms out, and they show God having a slice of pizza, sitting on a couch, and taking some, what are they called, pepper or salt, and shaking it on his pizza with his feet stretched out watching television, and the salt and pepper that he's shaking on his pizza is accidentally sloppy, is falling on the world. So all the big hailstorms and Chorban that the world is suffering is because God is lying on a couch watching television and having some pizza and shaking his salt shaker, and the salt is falling on the world, and the world is being destroyed. That's exactly the mentality of the ancients. Okay? They believe in these forces above, these lowlifes that are created in their own image of kina taiva v'kavai, and it percolates down to this world and things happening on this world. This is kula kafira. There can be nothing further from the truth than these type of ideas. But that's what they believed in. All right, so going back now, how do we get into this? Because I saw it, I was preparing a little bit today, and I saw that in the Mamloes, he has a different elaboration of exactly what this pasuk means, and he says, and I'm not going into the details, but he says that Lachish, he doesn't say the avodah zara was Baal, but it was I already forgot. It was a different avodah zara. He connects this whole story to a story in Sefer Melachim. In Sefer Melachim, I don't know the story. Uziah. It seems that in Sefer Melachim there was a civil war in the Malchus of Yehuda itself. In the Malchus of Yehuda itself, one of the kings began to worship Avodah Zarah in Yerushalayim, and the people that were not happy with him, so they exiled him. And he went to Lachish. And when he was exiled, another king in Yehuda took over. So why was he exiled? Because he was worshipping idols. What did he now remember? What were they worshipping? The sun god. The sun god is not the same as the Baal. Okay, so he ascribes, I don't have all the details, my knowledge of Nacha, I have to brush up, I forgot a lot of things already, but in Sefer Melachim, he connects the story here, what it says here in Pasuk Gimel, to a very specific event that took place in Sefer Melachim, in Lachish, and there the issue was not Baal, like what it says here in the Radak, the Avodah Zarah was the sun. It was the sun god. And the sun god was also a god that was popular in the Malchus of Yisrael. Okay, so you have another god. You have the sun god, you have Baal, Moilich, Dagon, probably a moon god. Okay, the sun god, in fact, is a very popular god. We spent a lot of time with that. When learning Sefer Yecheskel, we spent a lot of time, they would bow down to the sun. They would bow down. The sun was a very, very popular force. And so over here, when it says here that in Lachish, they were worshipping an Avodah Zarah, it refers either to that this Avodah Zarah started out in the Malchus of Yisrael. Either it means Baal, or it could possibly mean the sun god. He also notes that one of the milas they had there is that they had special chariots. They were known in Lachish for their chariots. Just like today in Israel, Israel is known to have the best tanks. Okay, who makes the best tanks in the world? Israel. The state of Israel, they make a tank second to none. They make a lot of money. A good part of their economy is to sell arms. Every country, where do they make money? Where do you make money? You sell arms. That's where all the money is. Big bucks come from selling weapons. So Israel, they make a lot of money by selling tanks to other countries. So that's nothing new. It's nothing new to sell a tank, because in this place called Lachish, they had expertise in very swift chariots. So here, Hashem is mocking Lachish. Lachish, you have pride in your chariots. They're very swift, they're very good, and you sell them to other nations. Guess what? You're going to have to use your own chariots to escape, to run away, because the enemy is coming to destroy you. So Hashem is basically, according to that interpretation, the Mamloi is coming to mock them for their success. You took too much pride in your product. Koichi v'yoytzem yadi, the day will come when you'll have to make use of your product to no avail. It's not going to help. You're going to run, you're going to hitch the horses to the chariot to run away, and guess what? It's not going to make a difference. The enemy is going to overcome you. Okay, that is what we learned yesterday. Let's take so one more time with the pasuk. You gimel resoim hamerkava lorechesh. The word resoim. What?
A lot of the pharaohs said the word Ra is the sun god.
The sun god.
A lot of the pharaohs had the word Ra in their name.
Paro, Reish Ayin is they bow down to the sun god. That's very interesting. Okay, very interesting. So over here resoim hamerkava lorechesh hashemesh lachesh. Over here the more we bring over here, we learned yesterday where the word resoim is a very unusual word. Resoim means to bond, to tie, to connect. Connect the Merkava, the chariot, Lorechesh. Lerachash means the. Now we learned yesterday it does not necessarily mean a horse. A rechash is a certain creature that moves very quickly. We know that in the Megillah it says biad. I forgot the word. And Rashi there says that we don't even know what this is.
Right.
Rashi is saying, a certain type of creature. It's a creature which is able to move very quickly, very swiftly. And who knows if it even exists today. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Rashi says they don't know what it is. He does not know what it is. So either it does exist, does not exist. Likewise, we learned yesterday in the Radak, the word la rechesh, we don't really know what the rechesh is. The rechesh is a living creature which moves very quickly. And the chariots are now being tied, being connected to this rechesh in order to escape very quickly. You have to appreciate, understand that you just can't build a regular chariot. If you go take a regular chariot and you tie it to a very quick creature, and the quick creature begins to run, the chariot will just fall to pieces. Okay, we all know that there's aerodynamics. You have to match up the cabin of your vehicle to its engine. You build a car, you're an engineer. You don't just go take a old-fashioned station wagon and just dump it on a new Rolls-Royce engine. It doesn't work like that. If you have an engine, you go and you design some fancy engine. Even like today, they go have the hybrids. Hybrids take up a lot of space. The electrical cars, because they have to have these massive batteries, and the engine is not the same. It has to be optimized, so it takes up a lot of space. It doesn't fit. You just can't take your old cabin and just superimpose it upon your electric car. It has to be completely redesigned to fit into the space available after you lay out your engine. It's the same thing in ancient times. If you have a creature, a rechesh, and these creatures, they operate a certain way. So when you design a merkava, a chariot, you got to make sure the chariot fits. The chariot is designed to work with this. Look what happened now. It's very similar to what happened with Boeing, the MAX. What's it called? The MAX plane?
737.
737 MAX. So if you go and you look, you watch the videos, they show you exactly what the problem is. They show you, it's fascinating how they're competing with Airbus. Airbus made a plane, and they made a plane, and they knew it was no good, and they just raised the cabin. They took the cabin, the same old cabin from the old planes, and they have a new engine and a new wing design, and they just were lazy, and they connected it, and they saw it didn't work. So what do? They raised it a little bit. They raised it a couple of inches. But by raising it, it didn't work. It stalls when it reaches a certain situation, comes about. So, Mamash, you see, you can't take your old chariot, the Merkava, which I'm calling a cabin, and just hitch it to an engine and a design that's innovative, that is swift. You have to completely design the rechev around your new modern Mamash.
The Chinese has the rickshaw.
Yeah.
Same thing. It's like a, it's two big wheels and somebody runs.
A special device.
A person.
You're able to go very quickly. So over here, there's a lot of chokhmah. Now you have to appreciate the chokhmah when it says here, "Risoim ha-merkava l'rechesh." It doesn't just mean you go to a junkyard and you find an old car and you take out the inside and you attach it to your new, to your drone.
That was the downfall of Cadillac.
See, it's right. This is my thing. There's a lot of chokhmah in being a good shidduch. It has to match. Risoim ha-merkava l'rechesh. Who were the experts in the zivug? They were shadchanim. They knew how to be meshadech the merkava with the rechesh to achieve optimization, fuel efficiency, speed, all the miles. It were the people of Lachish. They were the ultimate shatchanim in engineering. And Hashem is mocking them. You're such good shatchanim. How come you weren't meshadech your neshamos to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Why were you meshadech your neshama is to the avodah zara? If you have the chokhma of shiduchim to make those connections, you appreciate that your mobility depends on your engine. How come you were unable to go and connect your neshama to where it really belongs? Risaim hamerkava larechesh yosheves lochish. Connect the correct merkava to the correct creature that moves quickly, those who live in Lachish. And in other words, you're finished. Run for your lives. Why? You are the first city in the Malchus of Yehuda. Basion over here is a code word for the Malchus of Yehuda. You were the first ones to be Nichshol. You're like the Amalek. Amalek came along and they cooled off the bath. No one in the Malchus of Yehuda fathomed they can worship the Tsar in the Holy Land. How dare you? You're going to worship the Tsar? You want to worship the Tsar? You go up north. Go up to the people of Yisrael. They're the ones who are nichshol in avodah zarah. Not here. There's no avodah zarah in Yehuda. Don't you dare. No avodah zarah. This is not a place for avodah zarah. They were the first ones, like Amalek, to say, no, you can do avodah zarah in Yehuda also. Nothing's going to happen to you. They cooled off the bath. And therefore Hashem is singling them out. In you were found Yisrael, the Malchus of Yisrael. You went and were aligned with the Malchus of Yisrael by number one, importing avodah zarah. And now I'm remembering what I read this morning in the Mamloes. You also, the story there in Sefer Melachim was very interesting, is that in Yehuda itself, Lachish, they rebelled against the Malchus of Yehuda and they joined the Malchus of Yisrael. So it's bad enough that there were two different, there was a division between Malchus of Yehuda and Malchus of Yisrael. But then there came a point in time where Lachish, there was a city in the Malchus of Yehuda that succeeded. Is that the right word? Succeeded from the nation. They succeeded. And even though we are in our territory, is in the territory of Yehuda, we don't care. We are loyal. We pay our taxes to our mother, our mother nation, and that is Yisrael and not Yehuda. That was the sin of Lachish. Lachish was a very problematic season. They make sense. We talk about Nebuchadnezzar and Sancheriv, why they came to attack Lachish first, was because Lachish was a troublemaker. At least if you be loyal to your own, Lachish was part of the territory of Yehuda. And yet in the territory of Yehuda, there were people who rebelled against Yehuda and identified with the Malchus of Yisrael in many ways. Number one, they paid their taxes. That's sort of the main thing, the money. Follow the money. And number two, they actually worship the same idols. Okay, it's Melamed Shahamokoim Goyrein. Okay, I remember on Tisha B'Av many years ago, when Moshe took a leaf, he described this horror. I have to go back and review, find a record of what he said. It was very horrifying. He spoke for a very long time about a terrible, terrible story that happened in a kehila in Poland. There was a kehila in Poland where they had a rabbi, and it was a horror story in how the Balabatim treated the rabbi. The rabbi, they did not like what he was doing, whatever, and the people listening to him describe the story, they were horrified. And at the end of this whole speech, and he gave a whole mussar of, you don't behave like that. That's not the derech to do something like that. And at the end of this whole discussion, he says, do you know what town that was with this incident that I just spent a half an hour telling you this whole long story? It was a long story. Had a very, very unpleasant ending. Do you know which kehila this took place in? That was the rabbi of Auschwitz. Auschwitz was a city. And there were Jews. There was a shul. There was a kehila. And he says, Melamed Sham Mokoim Goyrein. Kodesh Baruch Hu, he brought upon Klal Yisrael a Holocaust. And we don't understand why. We'll never know why. It's not for us to understand. And the concentration camp could have been anywhere. The Germans had no shortage of places. They did. They had camps all over Poland, all over the place. And why was Auschwitz selected to be the central center? Well, many will argue because that's where all the railroads connected. There's a lot of discussion. That's where all the railroads, they all interlinked in Auschwitz. But you can't deny the fact that not much before the Holocaust, this terrible, terrible incident took place, which was a stain upon Klal Yisrael. It was very jarring. Here as well, you read over here, it says the Mamloes. Mamloes over here is telling over here that this city, Lachish, was a nasty place. A very nasty place where you're living in the territory of Yehuda, and you rebel against Yehuda. You say that we're not part of our Yehuda. We're now going to be loyal to Yisrael and your neighbors, and you even worship their idols. It's disgusting. And now you're telling me, you bring to my attention that Lachish was the place where, unfortunately, there was a lot of violence. Sancheiriv, Nebuchadnezzar, and you mentioned other, Yehoshua. There was a lot of violence. Obviously, like you have Shechem. Shechem was the place where a lot of bad things happened. Shechem is where the Malach was divided. That's where Yehuda, that's where Shimon and Levi, the Mayas of Dina, took place. Yosef was sold in Shechem. We come back to this principle many, many times. Melamed Shehamokoim Goyreim. Things that are not pleasant, you know, it's there's something to it. Yeah.
I don't know if we mentioned this, but how come it says Pishay Yisrael, not Pishay Yisrael? We're not talking about the
sinners. We're talking about the Pishay, the Pishay. Why did it say the Pishay, not the Pishay? Because Nimsu Pishay, the sins. So it could be because it's not the Pishay. The Pishay Yisrael remained in Yisrael. It means the sins. What were the sins of the people of Yisrael? They worshipped idols. They worshipped the Baal, or they worshipped the sun god. So that's the Pishay. The Poishay are the people. The people over here in Lachish are not the Poishay. They're different. The people of Yisrael remained in the Malchus of Yisrael. It was the people of Yehuda who were living in the city of Lachish. They adopted, imported the idols of Yisrael. So they brought in the Pishay, the objects. They brought in their idols. They brought in their technique, their method. They brought that in. They didn't bring in as a guess the poishay. V'lechaytim. It's another idea, right? But derech pshat. It doesn't say the word pishay. It doesn't mean the poishay. The poishay Yisrael remained in Yisrael. They stayed there, but the people of Yehuda imported the sins, to copy the sins, and they now became the poishay Yehuda. They are the Poishay Yehuda doing the sins of Yisrael. What are the sins of Yisrael? Their unique type of the Zara, Baal, or the sun god. Okay, let's now take a look. The only thing we did not yet do on this pasuk over here is we did not do the Malbim. So let's look at the Malbim. The Malbim pasuk Yud Gimel, page 457. We go im hamerkava lerechash yoshevis lachish, belachish hischilu la'avoyra v'dazara batchila. This we learned really yesterday in the Radak. Same idea. We elaborated from the Mamloes. In Lachish, they began to worship with the Zar Betchila, Shekein, Timsa, Shamatzia. Melech. Shamatzia, Melech Yehuda. Shehischil la'avoid es Elohei Seir, Amatzia, the God of Yehuda. Shehischil la'avoid es Elohei Seir, the God of Seir, which is Edom. Umarduboy avodav. Okay, that's the whole story that I quoted from the Mamloes. So over here now, the God of Seir is the sun god. Okay, the God is the sun god. Umarduboy avodav, and his servants. The servants, they rebelled against him. Noslochisha. Maybe just close the door. Just close. It's not closed. It's not closed. Okay, so they worship the God of Seir. The God of Seir is the sun god. The people of Yerushalayim did not tolerate that their king was worshiping God inside the holy city of Yerushalayim. They rebelled and they told him to get lost. So where did he go? He went to Lachish. Lachish tolerated him. So Yishchiskel Avoda as Lachish Seir Mordu Boyavodav Nach Nas Lachisha Umolach Sham Yud Beis Shana. Now he was the king in exile. So who took over in Yerushalayim? V'Uziah Molach v'Yerushalayim. So it turns out there were two kings. Can you imagine this? At the same time, in the Malchus of Yehuda itself, at the same moment in time, there were two kings. There was the king who had his followers in Lachish, and there was the king in Yerushalayim, Uziah. M'v'or Shev Yerushalayim kinu koyane Hashem al sh'ovar avodah zarah. Because what happened? The Kohanim did not tolerate the king worshipping idols. So they told him to get lost. And he did. He went to Lachish. There they liked him. In Lachish they liked his way of life and they took him in. And the people of Yerushalayim were very angry that this was happening in Lachish. They got together and they killed him. They went and they attacked the city of Lachish. And they picked him up and they buried him. It's interesting why they did so, but they took him back. I guess they had respect for the Malchus. They still had respect for the Malchus, and they took him out of Lachish and they buried him in Yerushalayim. It says there that they carried him on horses. Because Sheroish Avodasam Hoya El Hashemesh. Shechashavua lumoleches hashamayim hayu miyachadim es avodasah susim u'merkava. The idol of Seir was the sun god, and he's telling us here some fascinating insights into the technique. And that was they would put their god on horses. Why a horse? I have no idea. But that's what they did. That was the way they worshipped their god, the sun god. The sun god was put on. The way they would do their service, miyachadim es avodasah susim u'merkava. I guess they would follow the sun. Here he's explaining. Shabeis tseis hashemesh hayucholchim likrasa litzad mizrach b'merkava v'susim. When the sun would go forth in the morning, the way you worship the god is you go a kabbalas panim. So early in the morning, kivasikin, right? Early in the morning when the sun begins to shine, so we go to shul and we serve Hashem, kivasikin. They went out, they got into their chariots, and they went to the east. They chased the sun as a kabbalas panim for their avodah zarah. And you don't just go out in your old jalopy, you go out in your BMW, in your fast race cars to go quick. To be Mekabel Zrizim. Zri, they see how they abuse all of the milas of Klal Yisrael? Kivasikim, Zrizim, Akdim, Lemitzvahs, to make all of these improvements.
Buildings, though, they didn't have like a church or
they did, I'm sure they did also. The Chamon.
They went with the sun?
No, there's a time to go with the chariots, there's a time to have a church. I'm sure they, and we had Sukkim, they had a church. This was their technique. They went out and be Merkabah Vesusim, Dugmas, Shetziroi Kain, Halichas Hashemesh Al. You have a picture over here. Oh, look at that. Wow, look at that. He's showing you a picture over here of the Trundelholm. Is that how you pronounce it?
I don't know.
Sun chariot. It's a chariot with a horse on four wheels. So it looks like, and they go and they run after the sun. Okay, a Kabbalas Panim. Hayu Holchim Likrasal Tzadim Mishach B'Merkava V'susim Dugmas Shetziroi Kain, Halichas Hashemesh Al Magala. He just showed me that picture. Okay, Dr. Friedman has a picture of this famous type of chariot, which has on the back of the chariot the image of a sun. Kinoida b'mekoroi simei kedem, as you can see on Wikipedia. The gematria b'mekoroi simei kedem of ancient sources is the same gematria as Wikipedia. Try it. Chemoisha kosov. And like it says, Vayashpeis es hasusim asher nosnu malcha Yehuda l'shemesh. It says there when they destroyed the Avodah Zarah, they put it to an end. Vayashpeis means they put to an end the horses asher nosnu malcha Yehuda l'shemesh, which were designated for the sun. The esmarkavos Hashemesh saraf ba'esh. The amatzia hayla belachish susim yuchadim el avodas Hashemesh. That's what he had. He had there these special horses. Lochen kashagor yara av the Hashem. So now Hashem is mocking. Hashem now is mocking the people of Lachish. We now have a history. Lachish. It started out with Amatzia. Amatzia had the chutzpah to bow down to the sun in the Gemara. The Gemara tells us about this. They bow down to the sun. They bow down. When you go to the Beis Hamikdash, you stand in the Shar, by Shar Nikinar. Where are you facing? You're facing west, and your back is to the east, and that's by design. That's by design. When you go, because you're showing disrespect for the sun. The sun is rising in the east. And which way? When you're facing the Heichal, you're facing west. You're facing west. When you go to the Kotel HaMaravi, on the Harabah, you go to the Kotel HaMaravi, it's the western wall, right? Which way are you facing? You're facing east, okay? If you were to go inside, you would be in the very back. You would right away encounter the Kodesh HaKodoshim. When you go to the Kodesh HaMaravi, you're not so far away from the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Right. The Kodesh HaKodoshim is all the way on the western side. So when there was the Beis HaMikdash, you wouldn't be going to the Kodesh HaMaravi. When there was the Beis HaMikdash, you would be going around the other end. You would be coming in on the east, and you would go in up the steps, going towards the west. That means that when you come to the Beis Hamikdash in the early morning, your back is facing the east.
In the afternoon, it's in the west.
And that's the afternoon, but Ikar is the morning. The morning is Rizim Akdim Mitzvahs. What? Okay, but still, the Ikar appears to be in the morning. The morning is when it all starts off. And there, Chazal make an emphasis is that when they would bow down, they would say, our forefathers, they would turn around. The Oivdei, Mitzchila, Oivdei, the Zohar of Asenu. They would worship idols, they would turn their back to the Heichal, and they would face the sun and bow down to the sun. But we have learned our lesson. We're not going to make that mistake anymore. We're not going to bow down to the sun. We're going to bow down to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Adarabba. Our backs are to the sun in the early morning. But Amatzia, unfortunately, did not know that. Amatzia did turn his back to the Heichal and did bow down to the sun. He worshipped the sun. And not only that, they would have special horses to chase after the sun early in the morning to greet the sun. And that's what we're coming over here to Makim. And we're saying over here, Hayul Bulachish Susim Yuchodim El Avza Shemesh, Lechain Kasher Gavu Yarev Avde Hashem Vayimisu. And now, when the servants of Hashem, they killed him because of his Averos, Nasu has given Yosei Ala Susim. So here they're mocking him. They took his body, his dead body, and they put his body on this very same horses that he used to bow down to the sun. Lecherba Ubuz. It was a disgrace. Here, look at this fellow. This fellow, he bowed down to the sun. He had used his horses to do chase after the sun. And now he's coming to disagree with everything that we've learned until now. Everyone that we learned until now was resaim. Resaim means to bond, to connect. Connect the chariot to the rechesh. That's how we learned, right? Everyone told us that we never had this word before. This word is unique, and the only way we can understand it is based on its context. And therefore, everyone said, listen, we don't know what this word means, so it appears from the context it means to connect, be meshadech, connect the chariot to the creature that pulls the chariot. We don't know what the rechesh was, we don't know what that creature was, it was very swift. Along comes the Malm says, what's your problem here? What's your problem? You don't know what the word is? I know what the word is. The word is rosem. Rosem is a certain type of wood, which was very popular in Tanakh. Rosem wood. We have an English translation of the word rosem wood? I'm sure there is.
It's a common name in Israel, rotem.
Rotem. It's a certain type
well,
of...
Well, actually, rotem, the Malm uses that for the word sneh.
A bush.
He translates it into rotem.
Okay, it's a certain type of wood, bush... that we know exactly what it is. I don't know what it is, but it's going dictionary. It seems that it's known what it is. So he's saying, why is the word roisem? It's referring to the type of wood that was used for these chariots. And that was their minog. Let's see further. The chariots of the Shemesh. May atse risamim, why this particular wood, hashaimrim chaim ho'esh b'saicham yamim rabim, it stays hot for a very long time. Everything is done with the cheshvan. Okay, this wood, you're saying very good about the Hasten and Ukal.
Yeah, no, that's the book.
What? Gachle, well, that's a Talmudic word. Loshen Chachomim Luchud. Not necessarily the same way it's used in the Bible, in Tanakh. Okay, so here we're saying a certain type of wood which retains its heat. That's the perfect symbol for worshipping the sun god. Because the sun produces heat. A wood that preserves the heat for a long period of time is the wood you're going to use to serve the sun god. Okay, everything here is done with Chachma. In order to emphasize to emphasize the Chayim HaShemesh, the Isha HaMasmid, it's heat. Isha with the Mapek Hei means fire. Her heat. HaMasmid, her continuous heat. Doesn't mean over here her husband. This week's parasha, Isha HaFeiram. When you have Isha without a dot in the hay, it means a woman in Isha. When you have a mapik hay, it means her husband. Her husband, Isha, with a mapik hay, and here it means there's a dot in the shin as well. Okay, so it's not even, it means Eish. Eish is fire. That's why there's a dot in the hay, Isha, and there's a mapik hay, means her heat. It's heat. Okay, it's the heat of the basmedes of the sun. Ki avoidas hashemesh haya boesh kanoida. The way they would serve the sun god was with fire. V'alze omar resoim haamerkava shetechapes haamerkava hayudua shi markeves hashemesh baatzei roisem. You would plate the chariot with rosem wood. Aval Lorechesh, Al Tesor Oysa El Hasusim Amuchodim El Hashemesh. Do not bind the Rechesh to the horses. Al Tesor Oysa El Hasusim Amuchodim El Hashemesh. Rak Tesor Lorechesh, Shuhu Kal Baragul of Livroyach. So now we're mocking them. Don't tie it to the chariot that was used for the sun god, but rather take this chariot, Rak Tesor Lorechesh, Shuhu Kal Baragul of Livroyach. Sheyivruchu, don't tie it to the horses, but instead connect it to Rechesh. See, the Rechesh is not a horse. A horse was used in honor of the sun. Rechesh is a different creature. It was used for transportation. It was used to get you where you need to go. However, the Roisem Merkava, this was a chariot that was designated for idolatry for Avodah Zarah. It was never used for transportation. So it doesn't make sense what's going on here in this pasuk. Because if a person wants to worship Avodah Zarah, so what do? You meshadech the roisem hamerkava, the chariot that's plated with roisem wood, with horses, susim. If you want to go to work, you want to go to Manhattan very quickly, then you connect a regular Merkava, not one made from Roisem, with a Rechesh, with a special swift chariot, horse, a creature which gets you where you need to go very quickly. So it's either going to be the Roisem HaMerkava with a horse, or it's going to be Stam HaMerkava with a Rechesh. Over here, you're mixing up the terms. You're connecting the Roisem HaMerkava with the Rechesh. It's exactly the point. Hashem is making Leitzanis. Hashem is making Leitzanis. You bunch of Rishoyim. Your end is near. And now when your end is near, you're going to defile your own God. You're going to have to run for your life, and you're going to need the quickest creature to get you out to safety. So you're going to take the Rechesh, and you're just going to, in a haste, you're not going to go and hitch up your regular chariot, but you're going to select the chariot of Roisem, which is usually miyuchid, designated for Avodah Zarah, but because you're in such a rush to get out of here, you're going to take that chariot and use it to escape from Lachish. That's unbelievable. See, the Malbim, the Malbim was a real, unreal how he comes up with these ideas. with these perushim in the pasuk to connect, they make these connections.
They said they killed the king. That was the appropriate thing for them to do.
I don't know. Seemingly, b'makom sheyesh chil Hashem, ein what's into the Gemara? Ein. You don't give cover to the Rebbe. You don't give cover to the Rebbe. If the Nelech is an oyved avodah zarah and is guilty of what it says in the Torah, lo yiyeh lecha Elohim acherim al panai, and the king is bowing down to the sun god, how do you justify that?
I
don't know. I don't know. A good question. I don't know. Maybe Bezdin gave out the order to do. I really, honestly, do not know. But
I'm assuming the whole area they were very upset about. I mean, this was in
Sefer Melachim. We got to go back to the sources. Go learn the Pesukim. It says there that during this time, the king of Yerushalayim, Melech Yehuda, he went and worshipped idols. The people did not tolerate it. They told him to leave. He left. In Lachish, they were sympathizers. They also wanted. They took him in and they created a new religion. The people of Yerushalayim replaced him. And they said, how can we don't tolerate that in now the Holy Land, people are worshipping idols? So it took 12 years to form an army and to get their act together. And they went to war against him and they killed him. And not only did they kill him, they mocked him by mocking him. It says there in Sefer Melachim that when they killed him, they took the horses, the susim, with the avodah zara, and they destroyed it. And here Micha is coming to mock them, and based upon all the information that we have at our disposal, what we learn in Sefer Melachim and the horses and the roisim and the avodah zara, he puts the whole thing together to show you here how Micha is coming to mock people of Lachish. The day of your destruction is coming near, and on that day, you're going to defile your own God by hitching it to the Rachish to escape, and it's not going to make a difference anyway. You're anyway going to be killed when you try to run away. Let's finish up the Malbim. Avol Rachish. Avol Rusoy Merkavah, Shetzchabes Merkavah, Yahidu Hashim Merkavah, Hashem Shalatzirayzim, Avol Rachish. But I want, what's going to happen over here is you're going to bind up this thing to the Rachish, not to the Susim. Al teser oisa el hasusim hamiyuchadim al hashemesh. Rak teser lerechesh. Shul kal baraglov levroyach. Shivuchu mivne ayev. Al ze'omar reishes chatos silvasiyoin. Hu amok melishu levasiyoin hainu lemalchus Yehuda. Shesham ischilu b'chatos zel avoides hashemesh. This is where it all started. Rochish was the place where they started to worship the sun. We have to realize that, remember, we learned Yecheskel not that long ago. And Yecheskel over and over emphasizes that in the Beis HaMikdash, they were worshipping the sun. And they made murals. In fact, we learned that they made murals on the walls of the Azara of idol worship. And Hashem says to Yecheskel, Yecheskel, do you see what I see? Do you see what's going on in the Beis HaMikdash? These people are worshipping the sun. Now, Yecheskel was 100 years later than this. At this point in time in the Beis HaMikdash, it was good. There was no avodah zara. So how did it happen? It happened just like that, overnight? Little by little. There's a breach, and then it mushrooms. The slippery slope syndrome. Where did it all start? It didn't start in Yerushalayim, it started in Lachish. Who started it? Amatzia. It started, they suppressed it, but it was a disease. It ultimately spread and made its way into Yerushalayim, into the Beis HaMikdash, and there were sun gods in the Beis HaMikdash itself, and ultimately, because of that, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Okay, so it's all part of this long process. Here's where it all started. Kibach nimsu pisha Yisrael, avodas Hashem shehi pishmi pisha Yisrael. It really started not really in the Yehuda. It started the Malchus of Yisrael. Shehem aseres hashvatim, heim nimsu bach. Hagam, they are found, these idols are found within you. Hagam sha'at mi Yehuda, Lachish is in Yehuda. But look what's going on over here in Yehuda. You have over here a city that is rebellious against the Malchus of Yehuda, and they're loyal to the Malchus of Yisrael. All right, we finished this Pasuk. Tomorrow we go on to Pasuk Yudalid.